After Hours, T. Pinklayer. 6 to 9 tonight. A lot to discuss. Rob Britton's still here. Blake Snyder's on his way. But Rob doing a little extra time. And now Rob just didn't work a half hour with Carrington. Rob's been here for basically, well, actually the entirety of the Royals game, except for, what, the first hour you were near Rob, but you were here for the rest of the Royals game. The big 11-1 Royals win. And what was my first comment to Rob when I came in? Man, the Brewers suck. Because the Yankees took full advantage of that pitching. 9 home runs the other day. 5 of them using that torpedo bat that people have been talking about, the one that's shaped like a bowling pin. And everybody thinks it's like some new invention in Major League Baseball. Well, it's catching on. But did you realize, Rob, that last year Giancarlo Stanton used it? He used it in the postseason, hit all those home runs. Giancarlo Stanton was using that bat. Now he's hurt. And, of course, part of the blame he puts on doesn't necessarily blame the bat, but that's sort of his swing was messed up in both his hands. But, yeah, used it. One of the Minnesota Twins catchers is using it. The Cubs used it. Cody Bellinger said they used it last year in batting practice. So it's been used different times. Aaron Judge, by the way, doesn't use it. He's hitting home runs with the old-fashioned bat. Now, some teams use the little puck on the end of it. But it's perfectly legal. I would expect more teams to start using it. It helps your exit velocity. But the Kansas City Royals today, minus the torpedo bats, unless they use them, we never know. We never know officially what they do because some guys just don't say. But it is a legal method. But the Royals do get that 11-1 win over the Brewers. And you got to take advantage of this kind of stuff. It was the Milwaukee Brewers, their home opener. Bob Uecker celebration there. R.I.P. Bob Uecker, one of the best guys in baseball. But the Brewers had their home opener. The Boo Birds start coming out. It's nice to hear the Royals make Boo Birds out of the opposing fans starting to boo. The Royals go to 2-2, letting that series slip away against Cleveland. Should have won on opening day in Kansas City. Didn't. Jonathan India takes a 99-mile-per-hour fastball off the noggin by Emmanuel Clase, who I think... hey, he was great, dominant last year, third in the Cy Young, 0.61 ERA. But you know what? Things change, man. He wasn't good in the postseason. 8 innings pitch, 8 earned runs given up by Emmanuel Clase. Now, supposedly he didn't mean to hit Jonathan India, even though 99 miles per hour off the helmet, plus he pitched inside the pitch before, brushed him back. You know, Vinny was brushed back. Bobby Witt Jr. was brushed back in that game. Teams are pitching inside. They're challenging the Royals to see what they'll do. I'm looking forward the next Friday night when the Royals play Cleveland again because even though it, quote, wasn't intentional, Emmanuel Clase did text Salvador Perez, I guess, and said to make sure you tell Jonathan India how is he and check it on him and just to let him know it wasn't intentional. But, hey, it's all a you-know-what contest in Major League Baseball. Jonathan India is the type of guy that he's got that attitude, man. This team will fight people. And do I expect some of the power arms of the Royals to retaliate against Cleveland? Yeah. Was it intentional or not against Clase? Maybe not. But I think teams will, or the Royals will send a message about stop pitching inside because that is a problem against the Royals. But the Brewers were just what the doctor ordered. You keep a bad team down. Remember last year, the Royals started off 1-3. They weren't good until America's Booty Call came calling, the Chicago White Sox, and then the Royals parlayed that into a 7-game winning streak. Well, the Milwaukee Brewers are playing like that at this point. You keep a down team down. That's what they did with Milwaukee today. Jonathan India, by the way, props to this dude. He's got the toughness you would love in Kansas City. Takes 99 miles per hour off the helmet. Wasn't directly on the face. Was on the helmet, thankfully. But he was in the lineup today. You think he was going to sit out? No. Do some players in Major League Baseball sit out? Yeah. He didn't. He played today. Goes 3-for-5. 2 ribs. He's batting .379 for the Royals. Salvador Perez homered today. Mikel Garcia hit his second home run. Is there any way, is there anything you're taking away from this, Rob, at all? 11-1 win, 2-2, 2-2 the Royals now? Or is there still major problems and the Brewers just suck?
Only thing, big thing I'm taking away is Chris Bubich. Like, he was one of the question marks, for lack of a better term, heading into the season. You didn't know what you were going to get out of him because he was a bullpen arm last year after the injury. He was sensational. And yeah, the Brewers pitching stinks, but they still got legitimate bats in that lineup, and he was mowing them down.
It's a team that did win 93 games last year. They didn't spend a ton of free agency. They kind of rolled with what they had, so they didn't spend a lot of money. But Bubich was good, and this was good for the Royals. Had 8 strikeouts today. I think his over-under was, what, 4? I think I heard Dusty doing the taking the over on 4 and over. Man, that was one day off on Massey, by the way, because Massey would have pulled it in for me today, the 2 total bases and a rib that I had yesterday. Although, did he have an RBI today, Massey? Yes, he had one RBI today. So I was a day off on that. But Chris Bubich, his over-under was 4 strikeouts. He hits 8 today, which was good news for the Kansas City Royals. Zerpa pitched today. He's the one that gave up the run for the Royals. And Daniel Lynch pitched as well. And he didn't give up anything. Give up a hit, but no earned runs on that. But the Royals go to 2-2. You got to beat bad teams. You see Lorenzen pitching tomorrow. Then it's Cole Reagans, opening day starter, the following game in Milwaukee. But that's good news for the Kansas City Royals going to 2-2. You know, wash that away. It didn't matter. The first series of the year doesn't matter. There are some teams panicking. Of course, Atlanta is one of those teams because they haven't won yet. And what, Profar was suspended, what, 80 games? I think I heard you guys mention that. Profar was jerks, and Profar was suspended for that. So they've got issues. I watched the Padres last night. They're rolling. They're absolutely rolling. But I'm looking forward to this Royals team. I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun year. And I don't care what happened on opening day. The Royals still rocking those powder blues today like they did because it was an opening day game. So still rocking those. They'll go back to the regular uniforms here except for, Friday night City Connect and Saturday. They do the powder blue. Which they wore again today, but it was nice to see Bobby Witt Jr. A couple hits as well for the Royals today. 2 hits today. He moved his average to .278. So it's good to see him going. But as far as teams pitching inside, wasn't as bad today with Milwaukee, but Cleveland certainly did. Cleveland made a habit of pitching inside. I'm looking forward to seeing what the Royals do against Cleveland. You know, Cleveland's one of these teams that wants to hang on, you know, show they're still the boss in the American League Central. Not the Kansas City Royals. But the Kansas City Royals can have a lot to say with this division. I think this division is going to be better. Minnesota's the team I was going to watch for, but Minnesota was not good the first of the year. They haven't been good. Doesn't mean they won't be, because Minnesota's one of those teams that's good when you don't expect them to be good and bad when you actually expect them to be good. So it'll be interesting to see what happens to Minnesota, who's 0-4 to start the season. The Tigers, by the way, 0-3 now. As well, the only team with winning record is Cleveland, 2-1. But the Royals and White Sox, believe it or not, are both 2-2, as the White Sox won't be as bad as last year. The Royals got 12 wins on the White Sox last year. I don't think that'll happen this year. So you got to find a way to make up those games, because it did matter, because the Royals finished one game ahead of Seattle to make the postseason. But I think it will happen. But Bubich today, that's a good sign for the Kansas City Royals. I'm not really worried about Walker. I'm not worried about Reagans. Not worried about Lugo. These guys are pros. They'll turn things around. We'll see what happens. Baseball's a marathon, not a sprint. I think we know that by watching it. But our phone number, by the way, 913-586-7965. It's also Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. They said on TV that the full powder blue is the Royals' road uniform this year. No gray. I have not heard that. You heard that, Rob?
If they said on the TV, I believe Ryan. He's as good as anyone. I had not heard that myself, no.
If they said that, yeah, I didn't know. I thought it was a special deal because it was the opening day for the Brewers. I'm good with that. I like the powder blues. I'm good if that's what they do. 100% good with that. I did like the grays as well. Not going to lie. I like those gray uniforms. I know Friday night they did the City Connect, and then Saturdays will be the powder blue shirts and pants, then Sundays just the shirts. But that's the way it is for the road games. So be it. I did not know that. I thought it was going to be just because it was opening day. We'll see what they do tomorrow. But I hadn't heard that. I wasn't sure that I did not watch the game some on TV, but I was listening to the radio broadcast of it with it on TV. But which, by the way, it's much easier to watch the Royals. I knew people would buy into it. Ratings were up 25% from last year. That was good for the Kansas City Royals. The FanDuel Network TV audience increased 25%. Streaming viewership leaped 135% over last year. Big deal on that, I think, happens to be that the team made the postseason last year. Maybe people are buying more in to what the Kansas City Royals are. But we'll see how this goes the rest of the season. But so far, so good for the Royals on that end. But the Royals do get that win today. They'll play tomorrow against the Milwaukee Brewers. They'll play Cleveland next Friday night. Is it Cleveland they play next Friday night? I think it is.
This week they got Baltimore.
It's Baltimore this, and then the following week is a Friday to Cleveland, correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, it's Milwaukee, then Baltimore for three, then at Cleveland the following Friday. So after Cleveland the following Friday, we'll do a draft special April 10th, the night before that. But Royals, a quick road trip in Milwaukee, Baltimore and Minnesota at home before traveling to Cleveland, and then New York, then the Yankees, and the Torpedo Bats, the bowling pin bats. So we'll see what happens there. More and more guys are calling about those bats, by the way. It's the same weight on the bat and everything. They just switched a lot of the wood from the top is more towards the middle where the label is. Interesting concept. This thing could have been done a long time ago. Hasn't been really done. Teams experimented with it. Like I said, Giancarlo Stanton used it. It was designed by an analytics guy that went to MIT that worked for the Yankees. We'll see which teams decide to do this, but the fact that the Yankees have hit 15 home runs in the first three games, and keep in mind, not all those home runs have become because of this bat. Aaron Judge has been going home run crazy, but he's not using that bat. He said, let the MVP season speak for itself. But the Kansas City Royals, what's going on with the pitching inside? Get them more on that, too. With this India hit, I still think it's quite interesting. We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
And welcome back to After Hours, 913-586-7965. Also, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Thanks, Rob Britton. Staying around firing things up. Blake Sneeders be here in a second. By the way, do you guys know who that O's the Mentalist is that predicts games? He's been on College Game Day in football, and he's been around to different NFL teams. He's been in Chiefs training camp. He goes to other NFL teams' training camp, and he blows people away. Ask him to guess cards, and he's got the number. Now, supposedly, and who knows if this stuff's set up or not, you would like to think it wasn't, but obviously looks like it is. But they were messing with Charles Barkley, O's the Mentalist was, and he had to name a basketball player, and the player he named happened to be the one in the folder that was from Michigan State that they kept. And he put, I don't know if you saw this in the pregame yesterday for the Final Four, but O's the Mentalist predicted the Final Four. But not only that, he predicted the matchups to get to the Final Four, okay? Now, and he predicted Arkansas to beat Kansas, right? And he predicted Arkansas to beat St. John's. That was his bracket buster. But these were sealed, supposedly, when he went on, you know, with CBS before the tournament began. They put him in an envelope. Then they opened that envelope on the set, and then it revealed his picks. And then this before the games were played. Before the games were played that day, quickly went, Houston and Auburn going to win. And they did. And I regret not gambling on O's picks because he was right. Have you ever seen O's the Mentalist?
So it's funny. I was working an event just, 2 weekends ago where he was actually at the event. And I didn't see him perform, but I talked to the people the next day who were at the event with him. And their minds were blown. And they tried to describe to me what all he was doing. But I saw the clip you're talking about where he put everything in that envelope.
Yeah.
And I'm curious, too. I wonder if he gambles.
You know, I would go to the casino with those Mentalists.
I would, too.
I mean, he quickly – this. Keep in mind, these games weren't played yet. He quickly goes, Houston and Auburn are going to win. It's going to be all the number one seeds in the Final Four. I mean, it was like,
and the cast,
thing to do that after the game, but doing that before the game, all right, come on, man.
Well, and the cast was all like, well, that hasn't happened since 2000, only twice or whatever. Yeah. You know, it hasn't happened since 2008. And, you know,
it's weird,
he
man.
Was right.
But if you go to YouTube or whatever and search like the stuff he's done with NFL teams and stuff, like the players that aren't actors, man, they're football players, but they all act shocked at what he's doing. because he goes out there and predicts things. Like, they act shocked at what he's doing. I mean, he's a very, very, very good magician.
I think he's definitely good at his craft. I mean, you don't get famous for... You can't constantly have plants. There's got to be some realism to it. And I think, I don't know if it's, I mean, that had to be some sort of guess on his part. Because, I mean, I did have the Elite Eight and I believe the Final Four, correct?
On my bracket,
I took all number one seeds.
But you had the Elite Eight, right, too?
I believe so. I might have been one really? Off. I think I was seven for eight. I was 7-4. I had Tennessee and Houston playing, correct.
But he was absolutely 100%. And, I mean, he, like you said, he did... rattle off. You want to hear him do things before the games happen. He did it. And it's, of course, if he did this with the NFL, like predicting games, people think, you know, it's by the script again.
Of course. It's rigged.
Yeah.
It's rigged.
But Peter Schrager had his run where he's picked in the Super Bowl champion and stuff, and he was doing good at it.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, he had his last day on Good Morning Football today. I think he's moving over to ESPN.
I think it's probably easier to predict. I don't know. I feel like maybe sports is easier to predict the things that easier to do that than what he does in his actual shows, where he's meeting random people and then somehow picking out pieces of information. Like, how would he know that?
I don't know, but he's good.
Very good.
This just isn't on TV. It's like he goes and does it training camps and he goes and speaks to different teams and all this. But anyway, I was hesitant to believe in it. I should have. With gambling legal now, you know, it's... owes the mentalist, just pay attention to what he's doing.
Yeah, we should. Next time you and I need to just go and take whatever he says, you and me are going up to the casino.
I mean, I would love to take Owes the Mentalist to the casino. By the way, I asked everybody at the Powder Blues. They wore the Powder Blues again today.
Yes, they did.
Text line tells me they're going to wear that on all the road games.
I heard Rob talking about that. I didn't hear anything about that.
I thought it was just Saturdays. They said on TV they did. I went out and got the hat today.
I love it.
But people don't like it.
What? Why?
I don't know. So it's about, I don't know, half and half. I mean,
I'm loving the new batting helmets. I love them. I think they're super classy.
We should do a survey of them or something. Do you like them or not?
Yeah. Text line. Hit us up. Obviously, they've been saying it already.
They've worn the classic blue forever. The text line says, 816 says, love the powder blues, but what genius thought it was a good idea to go with those awful caps? Keep the classic blue with KC. There's a lot of people like this. You know, it's that, you know, hesitancy to change. You know, we haven't seen the Chiefs change at all.
Yeah.
And the NFL is now given permission because their league owners meetings are started yesterday. They go through the 2nd of April. They'll be voting on the tush push tomorrow, which is funny that these big things are going to be voted on during April Fool's Day. But regardless, it's kind of they'll vote on these rule changes tomorrow. That'll be a big deal tomorrow. But the bottom line is, they haven't changed, man. You ever watch the Diamondbacks? They got a different uniform on
every year.
Every time we see them, they've got like a million different colors. They're like the Oregon Ducks of pro baseball.
I'm all for new uniform changes. I mean, I was, and I don't know how many people were of the Royals fans of these unis, but I used to like when they had the cut black ones.
I liked the black hats too.
I thought those were really cool.
I like the black hats.
Just a switch up.
I have the traditional blue one with the KC on it. I love that hat. It is new era, but it's before they started putting the little emblem on the side.
Oh yeah.
So it's more old school. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Now this new one has it. But they're also their batting practice hats. They wear the batting practice hats. It's saying like if you go to buy it, it's batting practice hat they wear for the. For the deal, here's the 913 says new hats and helmets are clean. It's the perfect alternate. I think they are too.
I think I'm all for a little bit of change.
I mean, there's no reason that says you have to. Like the Yankees, they won't change anything. Like they have real hesitancy to change anything because they're, you know, they value themselves a little too much, but they won't change. But I'm cool with it. 913 says new caps are new school. I'm okay with a little bit of change. People want change with the Chiefs. They did wear those Dallas Texans uniforms once, and people went nuts.
I thought those were cool, too. With just the Texas on the side of the helmet.
I'm fine with it. That's where they started. That was their history. That's where they began.
Now, they did take the Native American off of that, the original one that was holding the torch, I believe.
Yeah, but the bottom line is they don't change, and the Chiefs don't change. Now, we have seen some schools, like Notre Dame, they'll wear, you know, alternate uniforms. Nebraska, I've seen them wear alternate uniforms.
That's they got the black ones.
That's one of the traditional old school uniforms. You know, I think of traditional, I think of Nebraska, Penn State, I think Alabama. I think of these traditional uniforms that people wear. But, you know, some people want to see, and I'd go for it too. Well, so I'm a traditionalist, but if the Chiefs went out with like all black matted helmets, 100%, man. I don't like those yellows. You know, you see them at the stores, those throwback alternate yellows.
Yeah.
Like each team does have an alternate. Like the Raiders is like a gray one.
Yeah.
The Dolphins or the Broncos have one too. Like,
Dolphins have the orange one.
But they don't wear them. I mean, all the Chiefs do to get wild as well, they're all red. Sometimes red pants, red shirt, but it's their regular issued uniforms.
If anybody's going to make a uniform change, I'd like to see the Chiefs incorporate something, but I wish Alabama would just come out with an alternate, because I personally think they have one of the ugliest uniforms and most boring uniforms in all of college football. Or just, college football. That's a personal opinion.
Yeah, they said 610 says the gold KC hats the year after we won the World Series were top notch. They actually wore those for a couple years on Friday nights.
I liked those.
The Dodgers wore them the next game. They wore them on Sunday Night Baseball, the gold, because of what teams do when they win the World Series. They rocked the gold. I'm glad the Royals went away from that, because they held on to those too long, in my opinion. You gotta let it go. You know what I'm saying? The City Connect uniforms, I'm good with. I actually think the Royals City Connect uniforms are better than a good majority.
Yeah.
And I know I live in Kansas City and all that, but I would actually take the Royals City Connect over any of them, to be honest with you.
I would take them. It's funny, because I scrolled through the list of all the different alternate City Connect unis, at least the teams that have them, and a lot of them are almost overdone. Like, they're almost too – they just went too wild
like
with
the
it.
Padres.
Now I like the Padres. I do believe that they're over, they're kind of out there, but they got so many cool colors in them that I like. You look at
I didn't like the Rockies either.
Detroit, they're like blue and black, and that's cool, but it's not really, I don't know, something's lit lacking. Or like Cincy's, it's just black with like red outlined on the
Mariners wore black pants and the blue jerseys. That's okay. Like Pittsburgh, right. PGH and stuff like that.
Boston's is the one that throws me totally off, because they go to baby blue. It almost looks like the Eagles the alternates in football, where they have that like baby blue and yellow color. That one throws me off every time.
The City Connect's pretty cool. It, incorporates fountains and stuff like that.
Kansas City.
It's better than the barbecue bone on there or something. City Connect, you got to connect to the city. You know what I'm saying?
Of course.
You could just picture Mahomes on it. On the Royals. City Connect.
Just like the fro, just the outline of his old fro.
Yeah, you could do that. 913, I'm a Chiefs, Royals, and USC fan. USC and the Chiefs are too traditional. I love the Royals switching it up. I'm good with the two, man. I mean, this is – people hesitated. Remember Kansas? They go to new uniforms of football all the time. Like the players, believe it or not, they like the switching up. Fans don't so much. Like K-State just continues with that uniform. But as the players, a lot of them like to switch it up. But you know what? It brings in dollars, too. It's marketing.
People
want to have different hats. I used to work with the guy here, Ryan Wachowski, and he used to get every different hat. Like, if they the ALCS hat or the World Series, just a different emblem. Whenever there's a different emblem, he'd go buy it.
My buddy used to work for the Royals. He was their head clubby. He has his whole closet is lined with almost every version of the hat that they had during his 7 run, because he was there when they won the World Series. And he's got probably, 27 different hats, and all of them are awesome.
Only ones I've bought, because I don't get into the, AFC West champion Chiefs stuff, because they do it all the damn time. You'd have 9 of them in a row if that's what you were doing. But the Royals hats, and I've lived here my whole time, the only hats I've ever bought is the traditional blue with the KC on it. The black one, because I did have that one, the black road one they had, and the batting practice hat today that they do wear on set. I don't have the City Connect yet, but that's something I probably would get.
I need to get a new hat. Actually, me and my girlfriend were down at Charlie Hustle this weekend, and we both bought brand new Royals jerseys. Or not jerseys, but we bought cool Royals t-shirts. I got one that has Bobby on it.
Did you?
It's like kind of a cartoon version of Bobby, but it's really cool. And then she got a cool one too. So we're all pumped and ready for Royals season, baby.
Hey, I'm pumped for it too. You been out there yet?
Haven't been out there. We were going to go the second day. We were actually going to go on Saturday. And kind of chickened out at the last time. It was just a little chilly, and ended up watching the game at home. But we were going to go. We were so close.
I know we want to think winner's over, but you get that surprise once in a while. You get that surprise. I'll never forget when Ohtani was like making his debut in Kansas City with the Angels. It was like 24 degrees that day.
Yeah.
A ton of media there, you know, from all over the place, obviously watching Ohtani, but it was they canceled the game because it was 24 degrees.
It was freezing.
Wasn't snowing or any of that, but they did call it because of the cold.
Yeah.
And I have seen the snow before. It was a Rays Royals game 10, 12 years ago, something like that. It did snow in May. It doesn't last, but it does happen. It'll
snow. I've seen sleet. I've seen it sleet pretty bad. I haven't seen the snow.
But I'm totally fine with this, what they do. I'm good with it. A lot of people don't like the spring training hats. You know, I do think they do a good job on those.
There was one year where they came out with one that I wasn't a fan of. It had like the little white line kind of on the base of the side of the hat. I wasn't a big fan of that. But it was spring training, so who cares?
But the new era contract and everything, they're pretty particular in these hats.
Oh, yeah.
Because you look at the Chiefs. Now, Andy Reid will pick a hat that is an issued hat, and he'll wear it the entire season. Like, he doesn't do the switch-offs and stuff like that. Because what they do is they'll have, you know, four games with, like, preseason. They had the rope hats. And so Andy Reid would wear the rope hat. And they had fitted and, you know, snap back on the back. Mahomes would wear it during the preseason and all that. Like, the first four games, all the players were wearing those. Then they switched, like, the crucial catch hats and stuff like that. But I will buy the Chiefs when they do, like, the salute to service ones. I love those sweatshirts and those hats and stuff. I will get those, like the Chiefs. But they wear them. They can't wear anything other than, you know, with the NFL's partners.
Yeah.
But Andy will wear the same damn one. The whole year. He picks one hat for the year.
Oh, yeah, he sticks
with
it.
And it's his hat the whole year.
I got to shout out the text on here. They did correct me because I was clearly mistaken. They said it was 80 degrees Saturday, and they're right because I was actually at the park. Whatever reason, we didn't go. It was Sunday, not Saturday, but either way, it was a cold day over the weekend.
The military digital camo hat is the best from the 913. The Memorial Day hats for the Royals are cool, but the salute to service for the Chiefs of schools, the gray and white camo type deal on it. I actually have one of those.
Padres.
And I bought the sweatshirt, not this year, but the year before, when it was all like brown.
Yeah. Padres usually do a really cool salute to service jersey because they've got quite a few of them.
The Padres jerseys they wore last night are awesome. The all camo ones?
Yeah. Okay. So they did wear them last night.
Yeah. They wear those typically on Sunday. It's a big military area, you know, San Diego. But I love them. Those are great jerseys. But anyway, we've talked a lot about the jerseys. But hey, I'm for it, man. It's 2025. Let's do it.
Hey, they were getting hot last year. Coming into the new season, fresh faces, fresh look. That's how you got to do. You got to look good, feel good, look good, play good, baby.
I do plan on talking some draft, of course, because this thing's going to switch to draft. April 10th, we're doing a draft special. We have like six of them in April. We're doing a live, and Cody and Gold will announce it tomorrow. We're doing like a live draft. We have a lot of draft coverage. We're doing a lot of draft.
You
coverage.
With draft Chris, coverage? No. A lot of it.
Well, we cut the Character Concerns podcast earlier tonight. Once again, we do it every week. And not only during draft season, all year round. It's the gift that keeps on giving, right? Jelly of the Month Club. The gift that keeps on giving. So we'll do that. But I do want to – one thing I do like about baseball, and I don't know if you like it, but like some people do and some people think I'm a heathen, which I don't really care. I like baseball fights. I do. I always have.
Love them.
Always will.
Love them. And I just put them on as highlights.
I love baseball fights. I remember Wall Street Journal did an article like years ago. Like, there was 30 bench clearings in Major League Baseball, and only like two of them involved punches being thrown. Remember Arenado a few years ago chasing a dude halfway through the outfield and stuff, wanted to fight him? Never forget your Donald Ventura and Machado's fight.
It was the 15 season, right? Where it felt like we fought the White Sox and the Blue Jays. I mean, Brett Lowry, Jeff Samardzija, all those boys were getting at it, and it felt like we had a target on our back. So everybody wanted to fight us.
Blue World War. I'll talk about Brett Lowry here in a second because I do want to talk about this India thing and do the Guardians need some payback from the Kansas City Royals? I think they do.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Hey, and welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Blake Schneiders here with me. You were looking for me last Friday, Blake.
I was, man.
I wasn't to be found. I was.
I knew you did it with Gold.
Yeah.
Cody and Gold.
It's Friday,
I'm
too, but the Royals play, so we're good.
Yeah. We were all good. I was missing you, but Logan did a hell of a job. Yeah, man. We Logan had a fantastic show.
Logan was down there with Art Haynes. he does the Chiefs pregame. Does a great job.
Where
on
was
that.
He at?
He's Springfield when he was working in Springfield.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Yeah, he was with Thor.
I knew he was from Springfield, so.
Yeah, good dudes. Do you, text line remembers Amir Garrett. Remember when he charged the whole bucket or the whole
bench?
The Pirates bench.
Oh, yeah.
He likes to fight guy.
He was a scrappy cat.
Would anybody charge Carlos Estevez? I don't think so. You ever seen him?
He's about 6'10". Oh, it feels like he's 6'10" standing on the mound.
He's not quite that big, but
he's 6'6", right?
He's all 6'6". What's he weigh in about?
Got to be at least 230.
He's a big dude.
Yeah.
That is a big dude that I don't see people can charge in him. I think he's listed as 6'6", 277 is what he says, baseball reference. Yeah, go ahead and bring it. You know, Vinny'd be good in a fight.
I feel like Vinny would be very good in a fight.
And you know Sal would, too. Sal would be all.
I'd like to think so. I think a lot of people think Sal is a nice big guy, dude, but he's a big teddy bear.
But he did it with the White Sox one day. He wasn't real happy. But
yeah.
When
he was barking.
Tim. Yeah, he was kind of upset. Again, the nice guys you don't want to tick off. Remember Mike Sweeney? He has one of the best fights I've ever seen. He's one of those non-assuming, great guy, you know, calm guy and everything else. But when he charged the mound against Weaver, it was one of the better takedowns. You think about baseball fights, that was one of the better takedowns I've seen.
If I'm not mistaken, and forgive me because my memory is – that was when I was young, but I'm almost positive I was at that game because I will ever forever remember Mike Sweeney getting into a massive brawl at a game that I went to when I was very young.
It was I was there for the Lowry incidents, Brett Lowry.
Oh, you were at that game?
Yeah, I covered those games, so we I was down in the dugouts talking to what's going on. Oh, I texted him and Escobar said he never got the text and all that. It was Textgate. Did he text Escobar or not when he spiked Escobar? I remember playing MLB The Show the next morning waiting for the game, just beaning, man. Remember Herrera threw at him or threw behind him or whatever?
But yeah, threw well behind him.
Yeah, the Royals bullpen, you didn't mess with at that point. No. They were going to throw some heat.
HDH was coming at you with flamethrowers. No, that was a dirty play by Brett Lowry. Still to this day, I don't change my opinion. It was a dirty play.
100% it was. And then the whole...
And he got hurt. He hurt Escobar in that play, too.
Yeah, but he did play.
He did play because he was a tough son of a gun.
He played all the time. Escobar is one of the toughest dudes, man.
Dude.
May love him at the plate or not, but dude was tough. Dude was a gamer. Dude loved to play baseball.
That entire team was full of guys who were ready to ride or die for their teammates and who were tough as nails.
I remember talking to Gerard Dyson once at spring training. He said, who's the toughest guy in this team? Of course, he said himself.
Of course he did.
He's a small dude, but he was probably likes to fight guy. Remember Lo Kane? It was Kane Holio when he had that shirt down there where Chris Sale evidently like was going, you know, searching for the Royals in their clubhouse and stuff like that one night in Chicago.
Well, that's another guy that's a hothead. Chris Sale.
He's the one that cut up all their jerseys with scissors one game, yeah. Wasn't he? Same guy. But the Lowry thing was fun, but it was just a fun deal. Remember the Jose Bautista, Rougned Odor fight that people love to talk about? I'll give Bautista credit. He didn't go down.
No, but he got clocked.
He did get clocked, but he didn't go down.
No?
Like, he did get clocked, but he
lost his sunglasses,
down.
But he didn't fall. He didn't fall like Tim Anderson did against Jose Ramirez.
Now, Tim Anderson was one that I think Perez had the issue with when he ran in second or whatever. But again, guys like that you don't mess with because even the most nicest, unassuming dudes, they'll turn on you.
Heck, I remember when this wasn't with Kansas City. I believe he was with the Brewers at this point. But when somebody charged Zach Greinke.
Zach
didn't back down. Broke his collarbone, but he didn't back down.
I remember Chris Young was charged once. Remember the tall Chris Young?
Oh, yeah, 6'10", Chris Young.
Tech Stranger. Someone charged him back in his playing days as well.
You're punching up, buddy. That's a hard fight.
I think it was it Ian Kennedy and Greinke that got in a scuffle? I know Ian Kennedy got in a few when he was in Arizona. Was he the one that plunked Greinke? He might have been.
I just remember Greinke being on the mound and... I forget who he hit, but he hit somebody.
He says in a 2013 heated game between the Dodgers and D-backs, Ian Kennedy of the D-backs was suspended 10 games for intentionally throwing a pitch at Zach Greinke, which triggered an on-the-field brawl. Wasn't those two guys, but it did trigger an on-the-field brawl.
Okay, so that
brawl.
Was another one then, because I remember the one where Greinke was the one pitching, and the guy charged him, and Greinke threw his glove down and said, bring it on.
Well, Greinke would do that. Greinke's all about it. Greinke was always about it. You know, your honor, Ventura was, too.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The one thing. Like
he wanted all the smoke.
He did. And he knew by throwing at Machado when he came back up, everybody knew he's going to hit Machado. And he did. And he knew Machado was coming out. And Machado's a lot bigger.
Oh, yeah.
Yelvin. But you know what, though? I give him credit because he didn't care.
No.
You also have Sal Perez, you know, Kevin behind you.
I wouldn't want that. I wouldn't want to fight Sal because he's got, I feel like those hips would generate a lot of power.
But with Jonathan India, I don't blame him. He declined comment the day before the game about it. But still, man, you're at 99 miles an hour by Classe. I don't know. It's supposedly... It wasn't on purpose, but...
I mean, I don't feel like it was intentional because of the situation. I mean, they had been pitching inside all game. No,
they had been pitching inside a lot, and it was colder temperatures that he blames because he didn't have grip on the ball.
Yeah, they were up 6-0 at that point, or 6-1.
Which I don't know if I believe it or not, but with the grip thing, because, you know, what's the one thing people say when they're busted with the roids? Oh, it was something in the things I took, and I didn't mean to take it, and all that.
I guess I just don't like if he had an excuse, either you hit him on purpose and admit it, or you just lost control of a pitch because you guys have been pitching inside all day. I mean, the situation doesn't make sense. Why would you hit him when you're up? Oh, you got mad that you're up 6-0 and somebody did something disrespectful. Okay, you're already up.
But
if it's a close game, that's totally different.
Classe said he texted Perez after the game to check how India was doing and to apologize to India in the Royals clubhouse for the hit by pitch. Sorry for hitting you in 99 miles an hour, dude. Classe relayed to Perez it was not intentional. 45 degrees outside. He didn't have the grip. Here's when it was.
And he's normally just, I guess the best word would be nasty for right-handed hitters. Oh, and he hit him in the helmet. Jonathan India hit in the, you could hear the thump. He's holding his mouth, his jaw. Boy, I hope that wasn't his jaw that we heard.
Yeah, so then Vinny was asked about it afterwards, and Vinny never mixes words. So keep in mind, though, players won't say it. I remember somebody here was talking to Yadi Molina after a Cards pitcher had hit a Royals, and they asked Yadi, was that on purpose or not? And he was offended by someone asking the question because they won't admit it, and they shouldn't admit it. But this is what Vinny said.
My view of it was watch him get hit in the face. And I'm still kind of collecting my thoughts on it, but he threw a pitch that he doesn't ever throw, the pitch before, which was a four-seam fastball. It was his first one of the year. And then the next pitch, they, you know, trying to come back up and in with the next pitch. You know, and you gotta get it. You're trying to let a pitch ride and... it didn't, and it hit him right in the face after almost hitting him in the face the pitch before. So obviously I'm upset by it. I'm more upset for John because, I mean, we don't know what's going on with him right now. So it sucks, and do I think there was intent behind it? Absolutely not. He's trying to go close the ball game, finish the ball game. It did happen, and that sucks a lot, and it felt like there was a lot of and again, scouting reports, different ways of pitching. You got to own the inside part of the plate. It felt like we were moving quite a lot this weekend. Again, I don't think there were, I know there wasn't any intent behind it, but felt like there was no adjustment made there, and that's frustrating. But again, they beat us. Hats off to them. It's a sucky situation.
There you go. There's no reason you can't go back inside on them. Brush them back a little bit. I mean, they did throw twice at India, and then one of them was 99 miles per hour in the helmet. Now, we can say what about Classe, but postseason was tough for him. Dude finished third in the Cy Young, gave up 8 earned runs and 8 innings pitched. Royals got him the other day. I don't know, man.
Yeah, I think that's also just a crappy situation because there's not a – that's the last game of the series right there. So you got to wait and let that simmer until the next series. It's not like they could come back the next day and maybe plunk somebody. All right, warnings ish, whatever. Okay, now we're even. It's like, oh, this is going to fester, I feel like.
Well, the one good thing about baseball is these guys have memories like elephants.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to remember. Whether it's in spring training the next year, whether it's a regular season game the next year, they'll remember. But the good thing about Cleveland is you get them 13 times this year. You've only had three.
I mean, this is the selfish part of me, and this is—I think this is what you had mentioned earlier—was that I like fights, man.
Oh yeah,
I like baseball fights. Those old baseball fights are some of the best to watch.
I know. Whether it's intentional or not, you can, you know, make your own decision about it. No one's going to admit it.
No.
No one's going to say, oh, no, he threw at him intentionally, or, yeah, he threw at him. They're not going to admit it because that's suspension. They're not going to admit it.
Of course. You're not going to jeopardize your play
for
the things that happen behind the scenes.
Talk some mock drafts starting at 7 o'clock. By the way, Steve Stewart, who does the broadcasting on the road, he was with the Royals today, 96.5 The Fan, him and Jake Eisenberg. And I got an update on the uniforms. So I will tell you what Steve said next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back, Jim Inkley. Blake Schneiders. I did hear from Steve Stewart, by the way, on the uniforms. And I don't know if it's definitive enough for you. So I reached out to the Royals. This is what he said. They're going to be home Saturdays. We know that. It's going to be their home Saturdays uniforms. I think today they did it just because they're cool. LOL. Don't believe it's the new uni, but Sam Mellinger, who's the new Mike Swanson out for the Royals, would be a better source, I'm kind of guessing. Today Sam said we wore them because they're awesome. LOL.
I mean, he's not wrong. They are awesome.
I reached out to the Royals, say what's going on, because this could have been switched now. I mean, if the guys really liked them, they can switch those bad boys up now, and that could have been what happened. I was still hoping the gray. I do like the gray ones, not going to lie. I do not own a baseball jersey. I used to have one. I don't have one anymore. I will never get a name on the back of it, though.
I have only ever owned one, and it is my sports idol. And it is a Royals Bo Jackson jersey.
Oh, it's fine.
So that's the only one I've ever owned. Yep,
blue one. That's good. I've had one Chiefs jersey. It was an old me. Maybe before your time. Classic. Played on defense. Great. It's in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Can you name it? Never done it since.
I want to go with the obvious answer.
Go for the obvious.
And Derek Thomas.
You got it.
There you go.
You went obvious. You got it. That's the only Chiefs jersey I've ever got. So that's we'll keep that one.
I've had three. Jamal Charles, the white Jamal Charles.
Okay.
I bought it the first year he played with us, Kareem Hunt, but it's 27. It's not number 29. And
that's what sucks, too, when guys change their numbers, which they do all the time now that the different numbers have been allowed.
And then I have one that I don't believe I've ever seen anybody else get because I technically ordered it custom. And I have a number 42, Anthony Sherman, the sausage fullback jersey.
That's a nice one.
I don't think I've seen anybody with that jersey.
No one likes the fullbacks, and they should. I agree with that.
I'm a fullback love guy all day.
Yeah.
You got to give the fullback some love.
You definitely do. But you and I, you're smaller than I, but you would never be cut dead in Xavier Worthy's. I mean, it's cool and everything, the one, but you're too big for that.
Yeah.
Even you're too big for that.
I'm sorry. I got to try to lose some weight here, Bink.
No, I don't care.
I'm trying to, buddy.
I don't care, but you're still bigger than that. I'm not talking about your weight or anything. I'm just being honest.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm doesn't drive you nuts?
I've always had this thought though. Like if you're over 300 pounds and stuff, and you're trying to wear Mahomes and the 1-5 is like stretching out of your
Hill
gut
jersey.
You need to be wearing Chris Jones, 320, Juwan Taylor, Creed Humphrey, Trey Smith.
Pick the jersey that fits your body style.
Like I don't want to see dude wearing Xavier Worthy if that one's stretching out. Like you don't need to be wearing Xavier Worthy's jersey. Pick a lineman.
You can go Rashee Rice. He's over 2. I could do Rashee Rice.
You could do Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
You could do Rashee Rice.
About 205, 210.
100% you could do Rashee Rice. I'm gonna stick with the DT. I need to get another one at some point, but
Is it still in good condition?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you wear it on only special occasions, or do you wear it every Sunday?
Don't wear it.
You don't wear it.
Just keep it. By the way, just don't. By the way, we didn't mention it, but the Sporting KC, Peter Vermees, gone. When I think of that team, that's the guy I think about. But they haven't won a game yet this year. They tied one, so. But yeah, Peter Vermees is gone. You heard that today?
I did not.
Kerry Savagnin will be the interim manager for Sporting.
Okay.
Not a huge, huge soccer guy. I respect what they're doing. It is fun. But I don't like ties. Never have.
Seems like a cop-out.
Anyway, some more mock drafts are starting to pop out, including somebody extremely popular. We'll deal with that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.